Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
It's going to be best available. If that is Colin Sexton or maybe Michael Porter Jr. from Missouri. But keep in mind that that draft pick could be traded even once it's selected leading up to free agency.
This is a Draft Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center, your summer outdoor project and remodeling store. Online at shurway.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I think it's really sexy.
The Fan.
Thank you, Neil. Welcome back in. Loaded final hour. Thanks for being with us here on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Looks like we finally got through that that cloudy nonsense the last couple of days.
I don't complain about the heat, but I was tired of that overcast look.
Give me that sunshine. It's
so
back,
played
man.
Out.
It's back, and it is hot today. Lots still to get to in the final hour of the show. NBA draft stuff. Some beer news, some college football factoids, Major League Baseball factoids, lots to get to. I do just want to throw this out there, though, just starting the final hour. 55305, what former Portland Trailblazer have we done the worst job as a fan base of overvaluing over the last 10 to 15 years, give or take?
This is the easiest one.
You got an easy answer right off the top of your head?
Easy answer.
That easy?
Rudy Fernandez. Not even close. We threw him a hello airport welcome party.
He got hosed in the dunk contest.
Debatable.
That wasn't bad.
Let's not act like he was out there doing through
off the
leg,
side of
windmills.
The backboard.
Okay.
Paying homage. Yeah, those are pretty cool dunks.
I remember when they got Rudy Fernandez, and I'm not telling you it was 1,000 people, but I remember the video footage they played on the news.
Rudy.
They showed him coming down the escalator, and there was a crowd and mob of people waiting, going crazy because they thought, here he comes. We got the next European 6'6 player that's going to dominate the league. And
he could shoot. He could dunk. Remember he had that big hoodie. He dunked on somebody in the Olympics, didn't he? Before he was a Blazer. I thought he had a big moment for Spain in the Olympics.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah, it kind of made us all get tight sports pants.
And he turned into a three-point shooter that didn't feel very consistent and couldn't do much else.
Well, the reason I asked this question, you can send yours in, by the way, 55305. Have you seen what's going on with J.J. Hickson?
I did see this, This came out yesterday.
Life is not good right now for J.J. Hickson. So if you have not seen this story, I'll just tell you, fill you in. We all remember J.J. Hickson in his 2 years of fame, or I guess a year and a half of fame in Portland. He was just a dominant double-double machine. Well, he was arrested and charged with armed robbery, if I can talk, in Georgia this past week. He was charged with using a knife in a robbery, and he's being held without bond in a Coweta County jail. Apparently, two people were involved in an attempted robbery, though only Hickson faced the charges. He stole $100,000 and other items from a home, and he broke a 17-year-old's nose upon entry into the house through a side door. The teenager is expected to be okay and is receiving medical treatment. So if you're wondering, if you were looking for an update on what's J.J. Hickson up to these days, he is robbing and stealing people of $100,000 worth of items and punching 17-year-olds in the nose. Not a good career turn for old J.J. Hickson.
Yeah, he made $27 million in his career, by the way.
That's not bad. And he was in the NBA 2 years ago. Or I guess 3 years. Two or three years ago.
On the
Washington. In 2016, he was in Denver and then was traded to Washington. So the end of the 2016 year was his last season in the NBA. So it's not like he's been out of the league for that long. And he's immediately resorting to punching people and stealing $100,000 worth of things.
By the way, I Googled Rudy Fernandez dunk on, and it autofills in Dwight Howard.
So he dunked on Dwight Howard.
So for those out there, it was Dwight Howard.
So, see, that's why.
I just watched the film.
Did he dunk on him?
It was good.
Yeah?
It's pretty good.
I'm throwing that guy a parade.
It's not Kobe on Dwight Howard.
Throw him a parade, man.
Well, yeah, that's basically what did it.
Makes me almost want to ask the other question of what's the more embarrassing parade, to throw Greg Oden or Rudy Fernandez?
Come on. That's it. That's another easy question. Rudy Fernandez probably had 40 people at the airport. Greg Oden took up the entire square. We opened the entire square up for him.
We were excited.
He was shooting water guns at people and tossing t-shirts into the crowd. We thought we won the championship. We really thought we had won the title. As a city, when we drafted him and paired him with LA and Roy, we celebrated as if, here we go, our dynasty has arrived.
Right.
And he played 82 games for Portland.
You know what is another really good one that a listener texted in? Because we were trying to rack our brains of these, the guys we overvalued the most. Because you remember, there was like a year and a half. J.J. Hickson was like, he was the story in Portland because he was 15-12, I think, one year.
He gave you good numbers.
He did. I mean, it was a double-double machine. It was like, dude, this guy, pair him with LaMarcus. Let's go. We got our core here. They're
let's have
build.
A 6'9 center. Let's do it.
Let's do this, right? It's going to work. Another really good one, a player that I love too. I'm guilty of some of these. Travis Outlaw.
Ooh.
Travis Outlaw is a really good one. Does anybody know what Travis Outlaw did after he left Portland?
Yeah, he got a huge contract with the Kings. Was it the Kings he signed with?
Sure.
I think he signed with the Kings in free agency.
He did, yeah.
He was the 23rd overall pick. So it's hard to, like, are you just talking about in terms of when they were here?
Just when they were here, like guys that we were like, oh, that he's going to be the next this, or no, we can't trade him. He's too good. He's too good of an asset.
This is a fair one to bring up. I do feel this is a mixed feeling, though, because people I was around, like my friends and other people that I'd randomly bump into, I felt like Travis Outlaw was always like a, yeah, he's never going to hit what we think, though. And then I'm sure you had some Blazer maniacs that thought, give this guy more time, he'll do it. Best thing Travis Outlaw ever did, he got one of my ex-girlfriends out of my life.
Oh, really?
It was amazing.
He stole a lady from you, huh?
No. Ex-girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
Out of my life.
Oh, okay.
It was amazing.
You guys Eskimo bros?
In a weird way, kinda.
Okay.
I dated this girl in college, and, you know, I thought she was the bee's knees. Turns out, a little crazy. Should have known it from a couple signs on the first date. And figured out rather quickly, got to get out of this. And lo and behold, Travis Outlaw saw her at a nightclub. And she texts me and says, I'm not talking anymore. Travis Outlaw hit on me last night. I said, great.
Go for it.
Go get him, Travis.
She's all yours. So the people we put on the poll question today were Rudy Fernandez, J.J. Hickson, Sebastian Telfair.
Telfair's a good one.
And Nicholas Batum. Telfair was a big deal.
I got to put myself in. We laugh about Rudy, but I didn't know how to feel about him. Outlaw, meh. J.J., meh. I did fall into the Sebastian Telfair. I watched that Through the Fire documentary.
The dude had a documentary on him. Like, that was a big deal.
He was, to that point, he was the best New York player of all time.
Yes, he dominated the high school scene in New York.
So it was hard not to kind of fall in love with that story. Marbury's cousin, quick, great handle. And then we figured out very quickly here in Portland, he skipped college because he can't shoot at all.
Ooh. Didn't translate. He is the leading vote getter, by the way. 35% of people going with Telfair.
Jared Bayless would be a good one coming off a summer
league
MVP.
Is solid. I remember Jared. I still vividly remember him when he was first bursting onto the scene in regular season, not summer league, having the comment of him and Roy are like the next big backcourt in the NBA. He was easy. I think he had a comment along the lines of, I'll be the Mo Williams to LeBron. Like,
Did he really say that?
He had that line. If we got Roy, I'll be the Mo Williams to his LeBron.
He's still in the league, too. I think he's a backup.
He's sitting on a bench somewhere.
Milwaukee?
He's hanging out, still no hair, and he's got the headband on.
Yeah, he lost his hair pretty early and had to go with, like, the cue ball look.
Yeah. And there's two other interesting ones here because I put Batum on there because and Batum is always a good player. I think we miss a player like Nicholas Batum now, but he was overvalued to the sense of we said he was the next Scottie Pippen. Like we all did that of we put him up on this pedestal, and even though he became a really good player and he had those unique stat lines that only guys like LeBron James would have of, you know, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, couple of blocks, couple of steals. Like there's just not many guys in the league that have that skill set and can do that, but we put him on such a pedestal that because of that, he was disappointing, and then you added on the bloated contract, which was bad. And I thought Dio brought up a good one, too, of it's just one that we haven't gotten over as a fan base, and his spin on it was funny, was Jermaine O'Neal. He said not just because he was disappointing, but because since we traded Jermaine O'Neal, we have had this fear as a fan base of trading a young star, a la all these guys were mentioning. No, you can't move him. Because we're fearful of it being the next Jermaine O'Neal situation.
Yeah, you don't want to say Jermaine O'Neal.
You're just getting Dale Davis out of it.
Yeah.
Even though Dale Davis was a boss for a while.
Dale Davis was a good player.
He's a good center.
Jermaine O'Neal, The tough thing with Jermaine was, I know he didn't make the impact we thought he would right away, but you got to remember, this was a guy coming out of high school. He was how old when we traded him? 20? Was
yeah,
he 21?
He was young. He wasn't here for that long.
He
yeah.
was a baby, and we had a really good stacked team. So it's hard to do that now and say, well, you don't want the next Jermaine O'Neal. But in that moment, it was something that kind of made sense. And, you know, kind of similar with Zach Randolph. I know
he was here for, we 21 when we traded him. 21.
I know Zach Randolph was a bonehead here, and he still had some boneheaded moments. But that was one for me that I knew he was going to be a really good NBA player. And I think most of us knew that his last year or two here. And it sucked because it wasn't working out with his personality type, with the off the court stuff, where we were as an organization. And then he goes to Memphis and has this, 10-year career of longevity, stability, leadership. That dude's going to have his jersey retired in Memphis.
They love him in Memphis.
And it just sucks because it would have been great to have Zebo here putting up those same kind of numbers, having a similar impact.
Yeah, I like this one too. So he said Myers Leonard actually has had a bit of this his first 2 or 3 years. Now it's exactly the opposite. That's true. We were really high on when Myers had that playoff series against Memphis. Remember, he couldn't miss the one they got. I think they got swept or lost in five, but it was Aldridge's last series. Him and CJ played really well in that series.
The Myers one was laughable.
Here we go. He's 7-footer. He can shoot, stretch the floor. Big year coming up.
I'm going to go look at the stats in those five games, but I'm pretty sure 3 out of the 5 he played decent. The other two didn't do anything. I'm going to look up the stats during the break because we're way against it. And I'll let you know how we reacted given what we saw in a 5-game series.
Yeah, it's a funny conversation to have. As J.J. Hickson at one point was one of those guys. Don't move him. Don't move him. 6'9 center. Who doesn't want that? But he was arrested in Georgia last week for stealing $100,000 worth of items and punching a 17-year-old in the face. There is your daily J.J. Hickson update. I want to dive back into the NBA draft. I have a question about 4 different guys and which one you're the highest on. If you had to buy a stock of one of these players, which one would you buy the most of? That's next on 1080 The Fan. Good song for today. Got some factoids to bring you at the bottom of the hour. Sprague's got a college football one. I have a Major League Baseball one.
I got Myers stats, by the way, from that Memphis series.
Let's dive into this. So this is when Myers' legend was created.
Yes.
An unstoppable force in the playoffs. What did he do against Memphis?
So this is what really drove people to lose their minds. He shot 76% from 3-point range.
It's got to be an NBA record.
Of the 5-game series they had, he had 2 games in double figures.
Oh, that's it.
One of those games he played just 5 minutes. He registered 2 personal fouls. That was it. And in the first game, he gave you 7 and 9. So not a bad little almost double-double with 2 threes.
Okay.
And then in their final game, he had 9 points, all from 3-point range and 4 rebounds. So it, to me, primarily, you look at the stats, people only lost their minds because he shot 76% from three. But he only had 1 game where he shot more than 3 threes.
So he had a 1-for-1, a 1-for-2.
2-for-2, 2-for-3.
Yeah. Not a lot of volume, but man, was he knocking down those shots. I'll say this for his sake this offseason. And, you know, we're a couple weeks away from free agency. I don't expect much to happen on Thursday night. Just for his, I hope he gets a fresh start. It's not going to happen because nobody wants him and he's making too much money. That's just the kind of guy. He needs a new city.
Are we going to, are we though as a fan base or the media, like if he say, let's go to Spurs,
San Antonio,
random trade, somehow he's involved. He goes to San Antonio and he averages 13. Are we then going and questioning Terry Stotts, questioning the organization, we're all idiots?
No.
Or do we go, well, it's the Spurs. Everybody does that with the Spurs.
Combination, too. Also, what do the Spurs look like? Because if Kawhi leaves, maybe they're a bad team and he plays a lot and he's just knocking down open shots occasionally. You know, San Antonio could look drastically different next year.
Sure.
Rudy Gay's already going to be gone. Kawhi's likely going to be gone. Danny Green might not opt in for another year. He could be gone. I mean, that could be a bad basketball team next year. You got to have an old Pau Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge. Not much else left in San Antonio. So I wouldn't overreact at that point, but I do think he needs a fresh start. I think guys get that point. You need to start over.
I can envision that happening and already seeing some of the media pundits saying, see, Told you he could do it.
Right.
And then some fans going, why did we give him up?
Right. We had a lot of fun reading some of those thoughts, by the way, on the fan text line at 55305 just in the last segment about all these guys overvalued. I did have somebody tweet me and say this reminds me of all the whiffs they've made in the draft. Yeah, you forget about some of these. Martell Webster was another pretty big one as the number six overall pick. He was, you know, he was going to be big.
I didn't know anything about Martell Webster in that draft.
Man,
and I go,
did he have a pretty jump shot, though.
Yeah, he's good-looking stroke.
Yeah, good-looking jump shot. He's like 6'5". He's a big body, too.
I would argue for most people, though, go back and take a 5 or 10 year look at any other team, and you'll find...
Oh, you'll find a lot of these similarities. Yeah,
most teams miss. It's the rarity of teams that can hit
right
every single year, at least on somebody that's a regular contributor. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you're down at... you know, below 20, you're not going to get, you know, a perennial all-star, but at least somebody that's a regular part of the rotation that contributes to your top 7 or 8.
Yeah,
Martell, one of those year-round guys, too. You're at Bridgeport, you'll randomly just see him walk around.
He's just hanging around. It's like, hey, what's up, Martell?
I saw that, when was that? Might have been like during the fall, I was at Bridgeport, and I turned around and just walks right by that Joe's Hamburger Shack, and I'm like,
look at that.
All right, Martell Webster just hanging around Bridgeport.
He likes it, man. It's beautiful here in the summer. All right, let me ask you guys this question. So the draft's coming up on Thursday. I am crossing my fingers for a lot of action with Portland. I'm not hopeful. I think we're going to draft some guy that is like a 3-year project or somebody nobody's heard of. I'm setting myself up for disappointment. But Swagman had to come up before the show. There's only two guys that you even like in this draft or think is going to be good.
No, I said it only feels to me like there's two guys that are safe bets. Like I can really figure out what I can count on from them from day one. And it's Doncic and Bagley.
Which is interesting because Bagley has a lot of detractors out there about his...
I understand that.
...chemistry fit and, you know, defense, that kind of stuff. People said they're better with him off the floor last year at Duke.
I don't know
like
about
Jaren
that.
Jackson, huh?
I did not see enough of Jaren Jackson... to come to a qualified position. Ayton by far has the most talent and upside.
He's signing Suns jerseys already, by the way, for fans.
Yeah.
He's going to random.
I can't get a good.
Of course he's going to be the number one pick.
He's at random like events.
It's the hometown. He was in Arizona. He's going to stay in Arizona. They need that position. Of course that's going to be the pick.
And then, everybody else, I'm kind of like, I can see how it can go sideways.
So we asked a poll question today. Put your NBA GM hat on. Your team is on the clock. Now, granted, this is going to depend what else do you have, that kind of thing. So we'll just do like a starting from scratch kind of deal because not drafting on base of need. Your team's on the clock. These four players are available. Which one do you select? DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley, Luka Doncic, or Michael Porter Jr.?
Porter Jr.'s... he's very confident in his abilities right now. He is saying he is better. He can be better than Giannis, KD. Like, he's putting himself in that stratosphere.
He likes himself some Michael Porter Jr.
It's tough, though, to count on the health. He's going adamant that, hey, I'm healthy. There's no problems here. I'm going to go to the other three because I don't trust the health part. I really like all three of those players. I really do believe, not to be so cliche and fence it, I think all three of those players are going to have impacts in this league and be very good players. If I'm forced to take one...
You got to pick one of them.
The potential of Doncic is so tough for me to say no to.
Really?
Bagley feels like an instant 18 and 9 or 10 guy. And Ayton could really come into the league and be a beast. But the potential part of Doncic... When you win in the Euro, like that league...
As a 19-year-old. Yeah.
That's the second toughest league that I think exists... And he's over there winning MVPs and winning titles. There's a little something to that. It's not NBA talent, but damn, it is really close. I think that kid can come in and be special.
Well, and he, of all those guys, seems to be the one that involves the rest of his team in his success on the floor. So whether he's scoring or dishing or setting guys up or those sorts of things, his offense... When it's crunch time, when they have to get a bucket and everything breaks down, he has no problem getting the ball with 5 on the shot clock and making something happen. But he's also more than capable to be a distributor and whip it around and try and find the best shot and force the defense to move. And I think that's the most appealing thing about him right now. where he could play 2, 3, or 4 at the NBA level, given his size. We'll see how it goes at the 2. There's concerns about his quickness, but no, and I think he'll have the easiest transition right to the NBA, having played against pros over there.
Bagley, a lot of people really like Bagley, and obviously he might be the most pro ready. I'll give you one we didn't put on this list. And when you talk about potential and, oh my God, if my team takes him, I don't know how to feel, but it could really pay off. Mo Bamba.
Mo Bamba was a lot of fun to watch at the PK80.
Has an 8'5 wingspan.
He's a freak.
He just released a video. He's doing workouts right now where he's doing pull-up three-point jump shots, and he's making them, by the way. He's not clanking them badly.
Right.
He's still a project. He's still raw, but yeah, man, if you could tap into the potential of that kid at 8'5 wingspan.
Oh, no question.
You can't
from
teach
a defensive
that.
Standpoint, if you've got an established veteran 4 or 5 that knows how to get in the paint and bang around at the NBA level.
Yeah, I worry about no offensive game, though. No's not fair. But
No. I think that's fair coming in. I mean, it's one thing to see videos and then go do it.
Yeah, he's not ready to have the offense run through him.
Well, and that's the comparison I'll make to a guy like that. I think Bamba's probably bigger than him and had the bigger wingspan, is Nerlens Noel. Nerlens was tall, lanky, was blocking shots, dunking, played good defense in college.
But Bamba's 3 or 4 inches taller than him, and his wingspan might be a foot longer.
He is, but Nerlens Noel couldn't stick in the league, or isn't sticking in the league, because he can't do anything on the offensive end of the floor.
I hear you there. I feel like Mo Bamba, though, and you read some of these comments, and you can say it's just the draft, and they're selling themselves, there's no doubt. I think the kid's really driven to get better, whereas I think Nerlens Noel... I don't know what the drive there was. There's a reason he didn't stick, and he was kind of idiotic to say no to a $70 million deal from the Mavs.
Yeah. Ryan says an 8'5 wingspan in this economy? In this economy, man.
I like that raw potential that he would bring.
It's there. I want to read some of these thoughts. Which one did you take? So the poll question, these four guys are on the board. You got to pick one of them to take. Ayton, Bagley, Doncic, or Michael Porter Jr. Read some of your thoughts. Update the results on the other side. Also, I have a factoid about baseball, and Sprague has a factoid about college football. We'll get to that next. Hey, speaking of the man in the mirror, Michael Porter Jr., very confident in the man in the mirror.
Michael Porter Jr. knows what Michael Porter Jr. is going to do in the NBA.
I need to read that quote here in a moment. First, though, let's give away a pair of tickets to the McMenamins Edgefield first ever Edgefield Brew Fest, Saturday, June 30th at Edgefield. Caller number 4, 503-250-1080. You win a pair of tickets. Tickets and more information available at McMenamins.com/Edgefield-Brewfest. Or you can just go to McMenamins.com and search it there. Caller number 4, you win a pair of tickets to the Edgefield Brewfest. Yeah, so this, I saw this come across the wire. We're talking about the NBA draft and just which guys you're most confident in. And I am not going to feel confident, by the way, on how to pronounce Ayton's last name until Thursday, and I hear the commissioner say it.
Well, not all commissioners say last names right.
That's true. We had a Mariota. How did Goodell say it?
He said it very poorly.
It was like even worse than it normally is, because some people go Mary. Yeah, I can't remember how he did it, but it was bad. So I'm gonna wait until I see exactly what it is. But this is what Michael Porter Jr. had to say about himself. He said, you know, talk about how you view yourself in the NBA. Here's what he said. Right now, I would say I'm a mix of Giannis and KD.
Good Lord.
Okay, good start. I'm going to take it.
So MVP should win championships next year.
Are you kidding me? I like going to the hole a little more than KD does. I like bumping into people. I'm a little more physical than KD, but I like to shoot the ball more than Giannis. So that's what I'd like to compare myself to. Also, Tracy McGrady, I get compared to him a lot. I like that one, too. Those are three amazing players.
I like that one, too.
It doesn't feel bad to be in the same conversation as them.
Yeah.
I like that he puts himself in the conversation and then says he likes being compared to those guys.
I know we're kind of teasing it. I love the confidence in himself. I think if you're a fan of a team that's maybe looking at drafting him, you're worried about the injury history and potential, but you need to hear a kid have confidence in himself. And he's not allowing the injury to... weigh on him or sway him on anything on how he feels about his game. We know this from watching him in high school. he was incredibly dominant. I mean, he was playing against some of the best talent in the country, too. So let's not act like he was playing against guys about our size in high school. He played against really good college players.
Right, right.
But the unfortunate part is we didn't see enough of him in college basketball. I do believe he's got real good potential. If he stays healthy, that is the biggest if, and that is a selling point that's not easy to fans. But if he stays healthy, I totally buy what guys like Jay Billis say. If he's healthy last year and plays the whole season, he's probably the number one or two pick in the draft. Seriously. He had the, you saw it in high school. You called a game for him.
I did.
He wasn't just a one-dimensional player. He could get it done in a bunch of different ways. So I think he's got the potential to be one of those really good basketball players. I know he's using names for a comparison, and some people will blow that out and say, oh, he thinks he's better than Giannis already. I think you have to go in this league with that mentality. It's a few years away, but he's selling you on the confidence that he clearly has. And if he stays healthy, this is a kid that can get it done on the next level.
People are taking him Mariotto.
Mariotto. It was something really bad.
Do we have that in the system anywhere still?
Primetime has that drop.
I think it's got to be somewhere in there.
Mariotto.
I kind of want to hear it. I want to hear another wave screwed that thing up again. The guy that I would take, though, that I'm highest on is the one that I can't pronounce. I don't know how you pass on DeAndre Ayton. I feel like it's Ayton too, but I don't know how you pass on that.
Yeah, I mean, 7'1", athletic, look, can move.
We had one of our P1s texted in, Blazers should know this, you don't take the big man, pass on him. How does he play in the up-tempo game? The example and the comparison that I would make of a guy that is fit in easily to modern-day NBA is Joel Embiid.
Right.
Does he have the length that Embiid has away from the hoop? No, but Embiid wasn't that kind of player in college. He wasn't draining threes when he was at Kansas. He has the touch to develop that part of his game, to me, which should be terrifying to NBA teams because he could dominate in the post. He's 7'1", he's strong. There's no major, major injury concerns that I know of coming into the league like some of these other big guys that come out. And he's a guy that did shoot threes and did make threes in college occasionally. And if you have that aspect of the game, that's the dream big guy. He's not fat. He's not slow. He can move. He's good defensively. He can score in the post. He can score away from the hoop. To me, he's a big lock as you can have of a guy that can have a big impact. All right, let's hear it. This is Goodell.
With the second pick in the 2015 NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans select Marcus Mariotto.
Oh, God, that was even worse than I remember.
Mariotto? Oregon, too. He gave us an Oregon.
He went Mariotto.
What's up with commissioners not knowing that? You know, Manfred did that, too, at the baseball draft.
What did he do
when
with the baseball
draft?
When he
did Madrigal.
He said Madrigal's name wrong?
No, but he gave it an Oregon State.
Oh.
A lot of people do that.
Come on.
That's just, if you're in the East.
You're a damn commissioner.
We get the shaft on the stick.
This isn't a hillbilly from Arkansas, right? You're the commissioner of Major League Baseball.
But if he has nobody that has to say that state correctly near him.
If you're from the East Coast and that's the way you've always heard it. Yeah.
Come on now.
But no, those things are supposed to be, there's an ESPN or there's an NBA draft
guide.
Why
did he end with O? It ends with an A. Where does that come from? Mariotto. What? The hell are you talking about, Goodell? Somebody said my only concern about Ayton is he's a 38-year-old man. True. He does have old man look to him.
What if he just gets up there and goes with the first pick, the Phoenix Suns select DeAndre from Arizona?
He just doesn't even try
it. He just backs out of the last name attempt.
They take DA. All right. Come on down. No names here. So, there's some, by the way, Ayton is the overall vote leader at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. Michael Porter Jr. was the last. He's the most compelling, though, and mm-hmm. he's a lot similar to Doncic because we haven't seen him at a high level.
Right.
You know, Doncic, nobody's seen unless you're like Sprague and you watch highlight tapes of him leading into the draft. And Porter, I think we saw him locally if you went to the LSI. His team did win. They beat Marvin Bagley's team. That was a crazy, that was the championship when you think about it.
How did they play against each other?
I'm assuming they both had huge performances, but I can't remember their stat lines.
Didn't you call that game?
Not the title game. No, I'm not big enough to call an LSI title game. Come on now.
Oh, you're only LSI semifinal.
I did like an ancillary qualifier game here, okay? I was a quarterfinal broadcaster for that tournament. But that shows you how much talent goes to the LSI year in and year out. But when you only see a guy play two college games, it's tough to translate, okay, you were dominant in high school. Was that because you're bigger and stronger than everybody?
Well, yes, in part.
Right. But. Does that, though, then translate? Does your talent translate to guys who are the same size as you? Which we just can't answer the question with Porter right now.
Still trying to figure out how he ended that with an O. You say it wrong. You get the Mariota.
Mariota is the one that a lot of people
I'd much
up.
Rather us be a Peter Mutter Cups place. Well, touche. Peter Mutter. I meant to say peanut butter, and I used an M. So you know what, Roger Goodell? I bow out. I'm sorry. We're both idiots.
Happens to the best of us.
Peter Mutter.
Happens to the best of us.
God, that was not a good time.
I'm going to tease.
Not a good time.
No.
You guys want any Peter Mutter cups?
Bad moment. Bad moment.
At least mine wasn't on a stage in front of like 10 million people.
Yeah, a few more people watch the NFL draft than listen to our stupid little radio show. I know that for a fact. Okay, I'm going to set up my baseball factoid before we go here, and I'm I want you guys to ponder this during the commercial break.
Oh, no, I got a good college football one, too.
Okay, we'll get to that, too. No cheating, and I hope you haven't seen this yet. So Bartolo Colon pitched last night. He got a win. He became the winningest pitcher in Dominican history. How about that?
Who's second in that list?
I don't know. Bartolo Colon has now faced four different father-son combinations. Do you know who they are?
He's faced four father-son combos.
He's faced the dad.
Was he there for the Griffies?
The dad and the son. There's four of them. Can you name them? That's my factoid. Sprague's got a college one. We'll do those next on the fan. It's just pathetic to let it get me involved in that. He said, well, you guys played the guessing game during the commercial break. You got one of them.
I got one, and I cannot think of any others.
This blew me. I saw this last night, and I was like, wait a minute. What?
How is there three more?
So Bartolo Colon, one of them plays for your team currently.
The Jansons.
Yes. No. No.
The Turners.
The Bellingers?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The Puigs.
Yeah, the Bellingers.
Yeah, Papa Puig. He faced it back in 97. So the stat is Bartolo Colon, a listener got one of them too, by the way. After Monday, Bartolo Colon has now faced four different father-son combinations in his Major League Baseball career. The one you guys got was Cecil and Prince Fielder.
Yes.
You just guessed it. Clay and Cody Bellinger.
I remember Clay.
Remember Clay vividly.
I had his jersey.
Vividly. Big fan of Clay. The listener guessed this one. Raul and Adalberto.
Oh, yeah.
Mondesi. The Mondesi kid.
I remember the Mondesis.
Raul Mondesi was his.
He was a good player.
He was a good player. Yeah, I forgot about his kid. And then the last one is Eric and Eric Young Jr.
Wow.
The Eric Youngs.
The Youngs.
The darn Youngs.
Swigard guessed the Boones.
You went Bob Boone. Is he that old?
That's right.
Bob Boone.
I kind of now want to search at what year did Bob Boone retire from Major League Baseball?
Dude, he played a while.
My other guess,
a backup catcher forever.
He retired in 1990.
Yeah.
Well, when did Bartolo start?
That's close.
What's he got, a 24-year
career? That's a 30-year career.
Look, hold on.
That's amazing.
Colon's first year was 97.
Yeah. So, all right.
But, yeah.
I'm old. Yeah.
I guess the Gwynns, which makes sense, but. He never faced Tony, you said.
But he started, you got to remember, he started in Cleveland, so they probably didn't play, they didn't face each other in interleague in the late 90s. Because I think Gwynn played for a couple years after
that. He played till like 2001?
Yeah, but he probably, they just didn't face each other because he was in Cleveland and one was in San Diego.
Might have been longer than that because he was in the 2000 World Series.
All right, let me Google.
They got swept by the Yankees.
That's a good point, yeah.
So he might have retired in like 03.
Tony Gwynn played until 2001.
Oh, so 1 year later.
2001.
That was right the first time.
And they were not in the 2000 World Series.
Was it?
They were one of those four, but I want to say it was 97, 98.
That's right. 2000 was a Subway Series.
Yes.
So it's probably, it was 98.
I think it was 98.
That's a good factoid.
Not bad, right?
Let me try to one-up you.
Okay, let's see what you got.
I doubt I will. It's in a different category. College football factoid. Did you know? Lincoln Riley.
It's a good way to start it.
Just signed a contract extension in Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
He is going to make $4.8 million per year. He got $1 million raise. He is going to make $100,000 more than his starting quarterback, Kyler Murray, who was drafted by Oakland, who is going to make $4.7 million this year. The head coach is going to make $100,000 more than the starting quarterback in college football.
I love how that works in college sports, where as long as you're not getting paid to play that sport,
he gets the money.
Go make all the money you want.
Right.
You don't care. Go for it. Like I saw, who was the punter? The punter, remember, that did the YouTube videos that he ended up getting banned? The NCAA wouldn't let him do it anymore.
The Georgia Tech kid.
Yeah. It's, He had a funny tweet the other day when he saw the Kyler Murray news. He's like, wait a minute. You guys wouldn't let me play college football because I was making YouTube videos. This guy just went out and signed a $5 million deal almost, and he's still allowed to play one more year? How does that compute?
If Murray has a good season and his coach yells at him, I think he turns back to him and tells him to shove it. He makes $4.7 million.
I'm leaving this, man. I'm
done. Shut up, coach. You only make $100K more.
I'm going to go play baseball. I'm getting the hell out of here.
That's the difference between us and Isaac and Suk.
Yeah, you know, that just
$100,000 right there.
It's a small gap, man. I wonder, too, how much fear there is. That's a whole other segment on Oklahoma. How much fear should there be of the impact Baker Mayfield had? Because that's a bit of a Mark Helfrich situation. Not saying he's the next Mark Helfrich.
Oh, about Lincoln Riley?
But he took over and had a Heisman-winning quarterback on his team. That inflates things a little bit, makes you look a lot better at times than maybe you are as a coach.
What did we know about Lincoln Riley, though, before he was head coach? He called the plays. What did we know about Mark Helfrich before he took over? He did not call plays as an OC.
I'm just saying, don't you want to see maybe how he is as a head coach without a Heisman winner?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You know, hey, go do it with Kyler Murray. Boom. You're the real deal. We'll give you that big contract extension.
There's a prove it factor, but there's a big difference between saying, hey, Baker, we're going to go run jumbo jet split 86 on three. And then being the head coach, and then being, hey, Chip, that was a good play call you had there. Yeah. And then being the head coach. Big difference.
Hmm. Well, there you go. Not a bad factoid right there.
Good factoids from us.
Not bad. Well, we're just killing time until the NBA draft comes. That's on Thursday. We will talk about it more tomorrow. I do want to do the poll question that we brought up earlier. Would you trade CJ in the 24th pick for Chandler Parsons in the 4th pick? How many people are cool with that?
On board.
Even though Chandler's got like $50 million left on his 2-year deal. It'd be weird to see him in a Blazer uniform, too. After all that transpired. But that'll do it for us today, folks. If you missed any of the show, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We'll tweet it out at Turton Sprague and at 1080thefan as well.
We've got a good show tomorrow.
We got a great show tomorrow.
I just saw a look at it.
Oh, you did, yeah?
A teaser.
It's going to be a good show.
It's going to be good. What are we teasing? I don't know. You have to find out.
It's going to be a good show. You got to tune into Whiteboard 30 on Instagram before the show, and then you'll find out what's coming up. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.